So today we have a presentation. I thought of skipping the Bhagavatam verse because there's so many things to say on this topic. And do we have a connection for the... So I tell you the title, which the organizers in their vision they gave. The title is Students Are Our Future. And the subtitle is Preaching Strategy. So, this is the topic which I was given to speak about. Students Are Our Future. Preaching Strategies and Activities for Students and Youths. We have devotees online, so we welcome them. Can they see the board?
I'm just at
the other. Oh, you can move it then. So, we are going to start with three letters from Srila Prabhupada, in which he delineates the importance of focusing on the students, and also he gives a practical guideline. What to do. So there will be three letters. Second two especially are very extensively quoted from. And then we will discuss other aspects of this topic. So, Srila Prabhupada stressed entering into the colleges. That's a fact. Historical fact. This is a letter to Badari Narayana of November 71. I especially want that my students enter into the schools and colleges and present our Krishna philosophy and sell our books. Okay, so this is just an introduction. I especially want my students enter into the schools and colleges and present our philosophy and sell our books. Then there is a letter to Sukadeva, 13 December 1972. What need there is for some special instruction from me, but if you want, I must give, because you are serving Krishna so nicely. So in that case, my request to you is that you enter into the universities and colleges wherever possible and preach there with a view to recruiting some first-class devotees for helping me manage and push on this movement all over the world. Now, Sukadeva Prabhu was a temple president in Seattle. He actually left his body just a few weeks ago. Some of you might have seen the news. And he wrote Srila Prabhupada asking for special instruction. And in the first part of the letter, Srila Prabhupada said, you're already giving the biggest contribution you can give. So why does it need the special instruction? But since you ask, in other words, independently from what you're already doing, book distribution and managing the temple and everything, since you ask, please enter in the colleges and the universities. In other words, make that your preaching field. Why? With a view of recruiting some first-class devotees. Recruiting quality people. Now, one may say, well, quality people, this is Kali Yuga, everybody is dull, everybody is born as a Shudras, you use the school system, it's a slaughterhouse, which it is. So, what does it mean? Everybody's low class, the students drink and this and that, whatever. And in one sense, all of that is also true, okay? But it's also a fact that within society, not only modern, I was about to say modern society, but there have always been universities. Like in India, there are very famous institutions which are comparable to university, like Taxila. And so it's the way the world runs is that the future leaders, the future professionals, the future influencers of society, influencers in a deep way, and I'm not saying just some social media influencers that promote different hairdos, but the intellectuals are in the colleges and in the universities, and they're trained to think. Now, you may say, and you will be right, that often, most of the time, what they think about is nonsense or is material. But the skill of thinking remains valuable. It's like, if you drive a car, you can just drive down to the beach, okay? Or you can drive to the stadium to see a football match, okay? But the skill of driving is valuable. You could also use and drive the Sankirtan van, right? So the skill of driving, it's neutral, and it's a valuable skill. In fact, often those who don't know how to drive, those who don't have a driving license, they may feel a bit limited. So the capacity of thinking about things in different ways, the discipline of studying, it's a discipline. It's a hard work. Not everybody can do it. Not everybody can spend hours and hours and hours absorbing knowledge. You may say it's material knowledge, but the austerity of absorbing knowledge is a skill that not everybody has. You may be studying chemistry, biology, or jurisprudence, or philosophy, or other things, but still that the capacity of taking knowledge from the book and presenting that information, demonstrating that you have that capacity, that's a capacity and skill for people who are natural leaders of society. And in fact, those who come out of the universities often, of course, they may remain unemployed and all that. That's also another social aspect. But the fact is that they become people respected in society. Doctors, engineers, architects, authors, writers, journalists, advocates, politicians. I give an example. If you study the history of the United States of America, the most common background of all the presidents of the United States of America was to have studied as a lawyer. Obama was a lawyer, Clinton was a lawyer, and so many were lawyers. Why lawyers? Well, the lawyers understand law, and so they know how to, we could say, play the game. They know how to they know how the world works. No, you see, if you want to pass a law in parliament, you need to have a sense of how to do that. Huh? You may have a very good idea, but then you have to translate it into procedure for that idea to become reality. So, in other words, this is to emphasize that there is value. And this is the fact that Srila Prabhupada was saying, recruit some first-class devotees in the college and universities, because there are people who are more intelligent and more trained to think than the rest. I give you another example. Srila Prabhupada was alone in New York, pretty much struggling. This is even before forming ISKCON, having the first disciples. And he wrote to a god brother that, you want to send some brahmachari, but send him only if he speaks English or is very good at mridanga. So, in other words, somebody who can give a cultural contribution. If he speaks English, of course, at the time in the 70s, Bengali Brahmachari who speak English were pretty rare. So, English means educated. Educated, being exposed to training already. So, and of course, in America, I can speak English. Or, at least, he's a very good mridanga player, so he can do some kirtan mela. I'm joking. he can do at least some nice kirtan and attract people through that. Okay, but the letter goes on because the organizers, in their wisdom, not only said, okay, enter the, but also wanted strategies. So here Srila Prabhupada talks about strategies. This is not the stress. Overall, there is a shortage of first-class experienced men to manage things just to the highest standard, as you are doing. Therefore, I'm calling upon you, the big leaders, to push this idea forward, namely to attract some educated men to join us. See, there is, for instance, this website, the Pew Research Center. You heard about that? It's an American website. They study religion, sociology. And for instance, once they publish the level of education of the different churches or religions in America. Now, Hindus were pretty high on the list because, of course, Indians who go to America generally, they're already educated. They don't bring sweepers or they bring engineers and doctors like that. And you see that certain religious group are more educated. Some are less. Like, say, Jehovah's Witnesses, generally they attract very simple people. Okay? And we could see that, okay, they have numbers, but they're not making much inroads in society. Society don't consider them, they don't ask them what they think about running the society. Things like that. This idea of shortage of first class, in one sense, I was just a few weeks ago, an ISKCON guru was saying in a sad way that one problem of our society is that there is a very low cultural level. That we attract low cultural level. In other words, we attract people with not much culture. Even, I'm just saying, material culture. So it's like so hard to come to a level of understanding and sometimes even understanding of the importance of legality, importance of following the rules even of the society, or the capacity of presenting themselves to the society in a way that people feel inspired. Yes, I can take shelter in these people. These people have arguments, these people have contents, these people are balanced, these people are mature. And for people who come from low class or disturbed background, it's very difficult. Just the language, as soon as they open the mouth, people understand this person is not educated. And they tend to not to take them seriously. And so this is a big, it's a big issue. Because Srila Prabhupada wanted that this society be the head of the society, this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, be the head of the society, be the brahmanas. And of course, in theory, everybody can become a brahmana. But if somebody is already a thinking person, an educated person, a normal person, a sane person, that's much easier. It's much easier. It's like if you say, this is an imaginary scale, okay, you have to be here, a brahmana, self-controlled, intelligent, a teacher. Not all brahmanas are intellectuals. I don't want to give this impression. Some brahmanas are very simple. But they're self-controlled, they're satisfied, and no, they might focus on things which don't require a lot of intellectualism. But still. So, but when you have a society which is a preaching society, we need people who can present the philosophy, who can understand the world, who can adapt our message without compromising it to the audience, and understand how the society works, make a strategy how to be most impactful. So if somebody, if you need the people at this level, and say, okay, if you get people at this level, then you can bring them up, okay? Then if you bring people at this level, then to bring them up is very hard and probably won't happen. And what if you bring people at this level, it's a major effort even to bring them to the normal, say, functional human being level. It's already an effort. And sometimes you see, some devotees, it takes a lot of energy for them and for the movement just to bring them to a level of functionality like that. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, there is a shortage of first-class experienced men to manage things. Therefore, I'm calling you about the leader to push this idea. Attract some educated men to join us. Because when you start with educated men, now you add Krishna, you have something of value. The famous analogy that you heard a million times, the many zeros, when you put one, becomes valuable. Now, there is a difference between 1-0 and 2-0 and 3-0 and 4-0s and 5-0s. You may say, no, but it's all zero. Well, it's zero because this whole world is a dream. So in a dream, either you are a king or a sweeper, in one sense doesn't make any difference. It's a dream. In the morning you will get up and you are neither a sweeper nor a king. So in the philosophical, ontological sense, yes, everything is at zero. But in the preaching strategy, these zeros have different weight. Because say you have 1-0, then you put 1 in front, then you have 10. Okay? Say if you have 2 zeros, you put 1 in front, you have 100. If you have 3 zeros, you put 1 in front, you have 1,000. If you have 6 zeros, you put 1 in front, you have 1,000,000. And so on. Okay? So Srila Prabhupada says, go for the 5, 6, 7 zeros. Because when you put Krishna, you have something of value. Is that clear? So yes, zeros are zeros, but when you put Krishna, the value of those zeros is different. It's just different. So here Srila Prabhupada says, go for zeros, 5, 6 zeros, 7 zeros, 8 zeros. When you catch them, you have something of very great value. So the letter goes on. The idea is that they will only agree to join us if we ourselves conduct ourselves intelligently by the preaching approach. The secret will be to engage them as they like to be engaged. That is, supposing I've got some education, I'm a business student, or I've got some skill or talent, I'm typist or musician or something like that. So I would like to utilize these things for Krishna. Only if I'm encouraged in a certain way, very tactfully. And I must not be discouraged by too much forcing me at first to accept everything, or shaving the head, rising very early, going for street sankirtan, like that. No. Let me come gradually. Let me study also Krishna consciousness and see how it is practical and sublime. Gradually, I may get some taste for these other things and agree to do them voluntarily and intelligently. So there are some key words here. We should conduct ourselves intelligently and tactfully. Tactfully means that we don't go there with the sledgehammer or with the bulldozer. People have some tendency and engage them in those tendencies. Sometime in ISKCON, especially in a few decades ago, there was the philosophy that surrender means you do things, you give up things that you like, and you do only things that you don't like. And that's surrender. But unfortunately, we saw that that may work, but not for long. In fact, Shri Prabhupada is saying the path of surrender is that they have a skill, they have a tendency, you engage them in that, and then later on they'll get the taste also for the discipline, the shaving up or whatever, the getting up early in the morning, like that. But the idea is to engage them first as they like to be engaged. And this is not some revelation that I got last night in a dream. It's just a letter from Srila Prabhupada. So it's kosher. Okay, but the letter goes on. We are not dogma or like army camp. No. So you know this art. How to attract and engage men. So aim yourself at the top class of men. And give them every opportunity and facility to become convinced of our philosophy and engage themselves to their satisfaction. That would be the best contribution. Now spread this idea also to the other leaders. So again and again in different words, educated, first class, top class, Srila Prabhupada stresses, when we put our aim at the top class, then we get something very, very valuable. We get something very, very valuable. Now, is it possible that you have somebody completely uneducated and then you attract them, somebody poor, uneducated? Yes, is it possible? You also have to see why he's uneducated. I mean, even Steve Jobs and the Bill Gates were dropouts. But they were not dropouts because they couldn't complete the course. They were dropouts because they're feeling, I'm wasting time here. I could do much more outside these four walls of a college. But those are different. Most dropouts are dropouts because they have no discipline, they have no drive, they have no motivation, they are full of drugs, they're in tamaguna, like that. There's a saying, and maybe Adi Purusha knows where it comes from, maybe it's Chanakya Pandit or something. There's a saying, when you go, when you go into the cave of the lion, you might find the jewel which is on the forehead of the elephants. But if you go in the cave of the jackal, maximum you find the skin of a donkey. You heard about this? Never heard? I don't know where it comes from. But it sounds like Chanakya Pandit or Panchatantra or something. What does it mean? Why the jewel of the elephant? Because in India sometimes the elephants were adorned with jewels. Okay? And a lion, sometimes lions attack elephants. Nobody else attacks elephants. Huh? And so if you go in the cave of the lion, you might get this very valuable jewel. But it's the cave of the lion. So there is some risk involved. It's not just any, you know, shopping mall. It's a cave of the lion. So there is a risk, but there is also return on your investment. Now, if you go to the cave of the jackal, there is no risk. I mean, jackals, I don't know, in Mayapur we have many jackals. They're very afraid. They're very kind of cowardly animals. So just say, go, they go. So you go in the cave of the jackal, there is no risk. But what you can get, maximum the jackals, in their good days, they can hunt a donkey. And donkeys, they're not adorned with the jewels. So maximum you get some skin of a donkey. So it's easier, but also the return is very, is very less. So colleges, university are like the lion's den. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Are like the lion's den, because their people will be sharp and will be challenging you. And will be, but they will not just accept. They're not desperate. They have a life in front of them. They have a career. They have options in life. And they're thinkers. And so they will not just accept. They will challenge. Challenge the philosophy, challenge the theology, challenge the way you dress, challenge the way you eat. No? You're vegetarian, why you're not vegan, why this and that. You know, they will challenge you. But if you satisfy their mind, then they can become devotees, and that will be a very, 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 very great gain for the movement. But the letter goes on. In this way, appeal yourself to the high class of men, not the mass. Mass too. We do not eliminate anyone. But if best men are there to run on things, mass will follow later. So, it's a fact. We are not impersonalists, and we are not communists, and we are not stupid. I mean, often we try our best not to be stupid. In other words, we understand different people have different weights. It's like a football player. Some players cost more than $100 million. And some player you can get for, 5,000 euros. But then when you have a team made by players that cost, 100 million, 20 million, 50 million, then you can hope to win the Champions League. If you have a team, one guy you pay them 5,000 euros, one guy you pay 10,000 euros, one guy you just pay him 3 pizzas a week for him to play, then you can't expect much. Okay, you can have fun. You can have fun. Run after a ball, kick a ball. But you can't expect to play in the big league. Or if you play, you'll be ridiculized. Okay. So, this is another important letter. This is the third letter I wanted to share. Letter to Satswarup and Hridayananda Maharaj, so the top, very important leaders in the movement. 9 January 73. Try to recruit some of the intelligent class of student class to take up this Krishna consciousness philosophy and study it carefully. Try to recruit some of such men to become our devotees. There is need for intelligent young men to train them up as the future leaders and preachers, to go all over the world for spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, this is January 73. The movement is already around for about 5.5 years. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada saw the trends, remember? Right there. There are trends. So the trends, what kind of people join us? And yeah, mostly we're hippies, and some hippies, there are different tattvas, even within hippie tattva. Okay? Some that were kind of bums, lazy people, into drugs, and that's it. That was their call to hippiedom. But others were intellectuals. Others were looking for something mystical. Others were looking for higher dimension. They were idealists. Okay? So some hippies turned out okay leaders. But here Srila Prabhupada 973 is saying, okay, go into the university. Get some intelligent young men. We need those for future leaders and preachers. We can't have always people with a lot of baggage, a lot of anchors, a lot of issues. Those don't become great leaders. And if they become great leaders, they make a mess. make a mess because they have so much psychological, emotional baggage that when when they become leader, that becomes amplified. So then it speaks about strategy. If we simply go to the college on one night and leave immediately for another place, it will be difficult to make very much impression upon the students. I think it is better to stay at one place for some time, at least 1 week, or as long as the students are interested, and try to sell as many books as possible. After your lecture in the college, you may request if there are any interested students that they may take further programs for you. They may make further programs for you in their homes or in some club or hall like that, so that you may remain for some time longer and concentrate on recruiting 2 or 3 good men, whoever appears to be most interested. And by your diligent preaching to them, you may be able to persuade some of them to become our devotees. Okay. Of course, we shall not expect them immediately to come into the temple like that. But if at least the seed is planted and they begin chanting rounds and following the principle why continue the study at school, that is our great victory. And if they like, they may go on. They may go and live in one of our centers, wherever they like, and learn further. But we shall not present Krishna consciousness as anything dry or like set of rules and regulations only. No. Krishna consciousness is the topmost philosophy also, the highest knowledge of educational experience. So try to impress this aspect of offering the perfect scientific understanding of everything as it is. Perfect scientific understanding of everything as it is. That's a very interesting definition. In other words, explain to them reality, the nature of reality. Not the temporary, unsatisfactory, incomplete understanding of things. Try to present everything very logically and always quoting our Sanskrit authorities in connection with the main points, and that will impress them greatly. Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So here is talking to some of his top disciples, Satsarupa Maharaj, Haridananda Maharaj. Now, they were traveling. So therefore he says, if you just stay one night, how much can impact on me you make? At least stay 1 week. Obviously, for us perhaps it's different because we generally settle in one city. And so we can open, a club in the university. Maybe you have, I'm talking in general here, a bhakti yoga club. But it's important that we have a regular relation with people and potential devotees. It's a fact. Srila Prabhupada, when he went to Butler, Pennsylvania, there were some programs, the YMCA and other things, but he didn't put so much, hope in those. Because, you speak one night, then people go, you don't see them again. He understood the principle of regular association. He wanted his own place so that people can come regularly, listen, and being deeply influenced. This process of socialization, that you get into a certain ambience, a certain atmosphere, a certain environment, and you gradually transfer these values, almost like by a process of osmosis, that you transfer the values, transfer your sense of the world, the world view, and then like that. So it takes time. I mean, of course, it may happen that, you see the person here one day, boom, becomes a devotee. But generally, that's not what happens. Yeah, it may happen like the story of Indradumna Maharaj. Some of you read it, no? They were just there in Ann Arbor, the Michigan State University, and the devotees were there, Vishnu Jan Swami and other devotees, and just he saw them like that. He immediately got super attracted, and he allowed them to be in their house and this and that. So, but that's very rare. So we cannot base our strategy on those rare events. those happen, Krishna's mercy, there are miracles, but you cannot base that. Just like Srila Prabhupada says, gives it the analogy, sometime you get a honorary PhD, right? It happens, you know, you're a great poet or a great reformer or a hero of some kind, and university gives you a degree, honorary degree. You don't have to study, you don't have to take any exam. But Srila Prabhupada also explained that's not the general procedure to get a PhD. Okay, so we should not base on miracles, even if in the past some miracles have happened. And so Srila Prabhupada is giving a rational approach. Spend time with these people, tactfully, present. And why is Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada speaks like this because he has faith and he has experience of the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So he knows that somebody comes to Krishna consciousness without being forced, then I will love Krishna consciousness, because there's nothing better in this world. What is better in this world? What is better? Better worldview, better description of reality, better philosophy. I'm not aware of any. If you are aware of any, please let me know, because I'll go there. So if some people were normal and open and receptive, they listen and they have a very good experience with the devotees. They see the devotees are saintly, they see the devotees are wise, they see the devotees are sweet, they see the devotees are happy, internally happy. Then they say, what is this Krishna consciousness? And although there are several cultural barriers, which of course we should try to minimize, but although there are certain cultural barriers, like, you know, the Sanskrit, the Bengali, so many other things, still they will be attracted. They will think this is valuable. And then when they become devotees, and by devotees they become devotees in the temple as brahmacharis or in their house as grihasthas, and then you have something very valuable. And they can do a lot for Krishna. They can do a lot. Because they already have many zeros. So when you put Krishna, they can do a lot. Okay, now we have 15 minutes before taking questions, because there was this other aspect of engaging the youths. Now, I think that the ones who gave the title meant our youth. Okay? That's another big topic. Our youth, people who grow up in our movement, they're born or at least they grow up in our movement. And generally, let me speak frankly, we as a movement, we are not very good at that. We don't have much experience. In fact, we have never even seen Srila Prabhupada dealing with teenagers. We have not seen it. See, we have seen Srila Prabhupada dealing with priests, cardinals, we are dealing with politicians, we have seen dealing with people joining the movement, we have seen Srila Prabhupada dealing with all sorts of people. But we have not seen Srila Prabhupada dealing with teenagers born and grow up in the movement, because they were not teenagers, right? First baby, what was the first baby in the movement? Saraswati. So, when Srila Prabhupada left, 77, she was 3 71, she was 3. So 3, 71, she was only 10. When Srila Prabhupada left this world, she was only 10. She was still a child. So we have not seen. I mean, it would be nice if Srila Prabhupada stayed longer, would have seen, you know, what to say. He gave a lot of instructions, general instruction on Gurukula, on school, about that don't force the children, and so on and so forth. But teenagers, we have not seen. There's a saying, it's not a Vedic saying, it's more of a modern saying, that there are two very difficult times in life, two different very, very difficult periods in life. One is being a teenager, and two is having a teenager. Because a teenager, obviously the body changed, the mind changed, things you never noticed before start becoming very important, and your voice changes, everything changes, and the world appears very attractive with many proposals, many suggestions, many temptations, and one is working on its identity, and especially in the modern way. See, in any traditional society, you are in a line of work, your father is in a line of work, you become in that line of work, right? Your father is a carpenter, you become a carpenter. Your father is a king, you probably become a king, and so on. Nowadays, it's all very unstable. Huh? You don't even know what jobs will be there when you grow up. You don't know. You don't know if all the jobs will be taken up by machines, and you will have to just be a servant of a machine, because that will be your boss. or you don't even know what world will be there in 5-10 years. You don't even know if what you're preparing for will have any use. So there's a lot of... Am I speaking too fast? Sorry, I'm asking you this after 50 minutes of speaking, but... You edit. Huh? You edit.
Yeah. I digest it and put it forward. If it's too fast, I compile it and compress it.
Acha, you summarize.
Yeah.
Acha.
It's all right. I like it.
Thank you.
I like this.
Ah, thank you. So, what I was saying? Being a teenager. So, we have teenagers in our movement, also in Iskon Ljubljana, right? We have teenagers, also in Iskon Ljubljana. So, now, I don't know what's the plan, I don't know what's the strategy, but we need a strategy. Not only for teenagers, because teenagers soon become 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and so on. You get the idea. I don't have to explain. So, but the point is that organized religions generally have a strategy for youths. In America, it's very common that any normal church has got the senior pastor, who's really in charge of the church and all the and then you have a youth pastor, and the youth pastor just deals with youths. That's his job, and the community pays him full time to deal with youth, because youth have a different type of energy, and so there is a lot of more playing around and more having fun. But no, with Jesus Christ and the Bible still somewhat in the center. But there are, that's what they have. They have youth pastors. Generally in Iskon, we don't have youth pastors. And sometimes we don't even have youth for which a pastor would be needed. In fact, you see, sometimes you see you go to a Iskon temple and you don't see youth at the Sunday program. It's like the missing generation. Some place, not here, but some place is more like a geriatric club, you know? If everybody at least has gray hair, if everybody has white hair or gray hair, somebody comes with black hair, they look on suspicious. Who is this? Who is this kid? I mean, it's a sad thing. See, because we were born as a youth movement, and those youths of the 70s, now they are in their 70s. So that they think still it's a youth movement, but the body changed according to that, no, diorama, not the changing body diorama. So it happened. And so we think it's a youth movement, but there are no youths anymore. Often, not always, I'm talking in generalities, in oversimplifications, and a little bit of dramatization. Well, it's a fact. You go to so many cities, you go to the Sunday program, there are no youths.
They're no use. It's like and if you have no use, you have no future. Because people who are in their 60s, in their 70s, they're not going to be around much longer. Not only that, but for how much energy, how much adaptability will they possess? So it's a major issue. Huh? How, and we are not even talking about preaching. We are talking about people who are devotees because they grew up, they love Krishna, they love the deities, they like the mantra. But that's a big question mark. How will they stay in the moment and contribute to the moment and feel identified with the moment? It's a major sociological issue. There is a famous professor Rodney Stark. He wrote down some 10 propositions why religious movements succeed or fail. And two deal with integrating the children and integrating the youth. Integrating the youth, especially without watering down the standards. So one thing I've seen in the ISKCON working is that we need to engage the youth and we need to give them responsibilities. One thing happened in a temple in Canada, that the temple president was a Srila Prabhupada disciple. She was in her 70s. And as devotees and everything, but somehow the temple was really stagnant, okay? And then people just say, look, the GBC and the regional say, they say, look, we can't go on like this, you know, this place is becoming really dry. And so they just took 3-4 youths in their 20s, early 30s, and they just gave the temples to them. And now they run the temple. And the first thing they give them to run is the Ratha Yatra. They just say, okay, you run the Ratha Yatra. And so it became much more dynamic, because also these people know the mentality of the youth. They are always in touch, no? Through WhatsApp, among themselves. They say they don't have one temple president, but they have 4 people. They're always in touch, so they're always almost constantly meeting, even if they're not physically meeting. And it seems what I hear that the temple got a really great boost of energy. And of course, birds of a feather flock together. So if there are youths in charge, youth to do things, then they bring their friends, they bring their peers. And so the whole thing gets a boost, as they say, a shot in the arm. So I'll close with this advice, suggestion, experience, observation. When you have some youths, engage them, giving them some responsibility. Not engage them only to wash pots. That's not the most attractive thing. No? If you're 16, may not be your dream in life to spend 3 hours on a Sunday evening brushing very large metal pots. So they may do once because you ask, twice, the third time they go to the beach in what's called the city, Kopek or Porto Rosso. Next Sunday they go to Porto Rosso and they say thanks but no thanks. So we need to give them stimulating engagements with some responsibility. They can use their brain because their brain is fresh. Okay, so we have a lot of time for questions. 3 minutes. Yes.
Just when I was thinking about the question, you already kind of said something about it, but I think it's kind of important for me maybe. So I'm going to say it anyway. When you were saying tactfully, then how important would you say, would you have some example, is that when the group we are approaching don't express what kind of person they want, how should we think?
They don't express?
What kind of person do they want, like devotees, to send to them? then how should we think?
Okay.
What kind of person to send? Because sometimes it's like, I was like 30 years old and I had like, in the classroom, I had like 10 grandmothers, like retired. It wasn't so, it wasn't going, my modern style wasn't really good for them. So I didn't have time to adjust. So I don't think it was very successful at the end.
You're preaching to grandmothers.
Considerations are like racial or age, and education, money, and things like that.
So, if I understand you correctly, you're asking what kind of people to send to preach to the colleges?
Yeah, is there some kind of method that we should?
There should be.
Maybe not just colleges, general. Like, we have some group, whatever group that is. How should we approach, you know, who to send and.
Okay, okay, 1 minute to answer. Let's see. That's, I feel almost like in a quiz, not just you have to. Okay, first of all, of course, you have to see whom you have, right? Because you may not have the ideal person. So you, what you were saying, I can go till? Acha. So, first of all, you have to see whom you have. And seeing whom you have means also look beyond the surface. Like, for instance, I remember once I took a course, a communication course. It was Mukunda Maharaj and Nishingananda Prabhu. And they were talking about communications. And one thing, for instance, they said, and I remember, said, look, maybe your best communication person may not be the one who comes to all the Mongol Arctics and chant all his rounds and, you know, is a perfect temple devotee. Maybe your best communication person is somebody who is a little bit on the fringe, or maybe a little bit not really the best sadhaka in town, but is smart, is pleasant. He knows how to smile, he knows how to shake hand, he knows how to get things done, he knows how to listen, and he knows how to present Krishna consciousness, or at least the movement, in a reasonable way, in an enthusiastic way. And maybe your best sadhakas is not the best for communications. So when I see, look at what you have, means consider also that we are not just talking about the capacity for sadhana. We are looking for the capacity of interacting with people, just like Srila Prabhupada. He had this Allen Ginsberg. He never became really a devotee or a disciple. He was into drugs and was actually promoting drugs. And he had many other interesting habits. But the point is that when he was in front of the big stage, the Prabhupada let him sing, because it was an icon in the youth revolution, in the counterculture. And so Srila Prabhupada gave him some high profile, although he had a big beard. And probably you know Allen Ginsberg like that. So when you see the best people you have, think multidimensionally, and then see how they can relate to that audience. Here, Srila Prabhupada offers some general thing. You have to act intelligently. Intelligent means you discriminate. You act tactfully. In other words, you don't offend, you don't insult, you don't step on the ego. In fact, in another letter, which I didn't quote today, Srila Prabhupada gives the example of Arjuna and Krishna. I say Arjuna, Krishna had to listen to Arjuna, although he was having so many hesitation, doubts. So in that letter, he's speaking, sometime you got to be patient. He gives the example of Lord Chaitanya. He listened 7 days to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The Mayavadi drivel, 7 days. 7 days without saying one word. But then when Sarvabhauma was asked a question, then he started talking, then he made him devotee. So maybe our parameters will be a little different. 7 days, listen. So, but the principle is there. So tactfully, intelligently, like in the ILS, last ILS. ILS means ISKCON Leadership Sangha. It's in Mayapur every 2 years. The next will be February 2020. And there was a devotee. I don't remember what's his name. Sri Chaitanya. That boy. One devotee from Los Angeles, from California. He's a great book distributor, Buddhist, by the way. And he does a lot of these youth programs. And he gave a seminar with a lot of pictures on these youth programs. And he was saying how people like to chant. He's one of them. And he understands them. And he sees what works and what doesn't work. So people chant, and there are so many photos of people really chanting, getting into the mantra, and so on. They may not like very much religious organization at the beginning. There's so much baggage about that. And so you have to understand your audience, which you also mentioned, right? And sometimes, some preachers cut through the external obstacles. I remember once Danur Dharmaraj was saying, they went to a program and there was full of old ladies. And it was very humble. It was him and Indradumna Maharaj. And Danur Dharmaraj, he said, it was very honest. He said, when I saw all these old ladies, I was just start thinking how to make Krishna conscious relevant to them. You know, what can I say? They're Christians. What can I say? What argument? What topic can I say? So, and then he said, Indradumna Maharaj just made them all chant. Everybody was in ecstasy. Everybody chanted and had the big kirtan. And there was no problem whatsoever. You know. So some preachers, you know, can cut through the apparent obstacles, just bring them to enjoy Krishna consciousness. Any last question? I think so. But the better you do with the mic.
Thank you. So in regarding this, that these scholars to whom we want to present our philosophy and our practice also need to be inspired. I have a recent experience that one organization, met one lady who leads this very powerful organization, an NGO, and then I told her that I visit India and that I study there and like that, and she was very inspired and she said, I will write a project for a donor and can I engage you to be a teacher and dare to give a seminar on some topic you like. And I said yes. So I realized that Prabhupada really wants to come there and that people never didn't try prasadam and they also didn't meet anything like Bhagavad Gita or something. So then she said, then donor approved, now you can come. And they really paid me very well. And then I decided three topics. So it was a three cycle, and one was non-violence and faith and non-violence. So I based this seminar on a 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, division of faith. So then I introduced them this kind of faith, goodness, rajas, tamas, and sattva. And they were very impressed. They told me that they only knew about faith and not faith or something like that. So then I divided them into the group and then I gave them a little paper and written the rules. Someone was like a spiritual leader, someone was politician, journalist or something like that. And I divided them into three groups. And then I said, now everyone is a different mood and now you try one group, it will be like that sattva will win and other is raja rajas, another is tamas, so you just see how you are interact with these moods. So it was really interesting that everybody start learning, okay, this is my rule, but I'm acting like this, and I really go through everything, food in this kind of fate, mind and everything. So they were very happy, and in the end I gave a little meditation. I told them that they now need to meditate on a higher nature of their self, to slowly try to come to sattva guna, and then to try to tell to themselves how they need to can try to become better tomorrow than today. And then they meditate, and while they were meditating I put a little sweet balls prasadam with the notes from Bhagavad Gita, these verses. And when they opened their eyes, then they read these notes from Gita, and they are really happy, so happy, connected with themselves. And this group were like, some of them were theologians, some professor at the school, some persons from the government, students, different kind of group. And they were very happy, and they didn't want to go home. They said, it's really enlightening, it's really amazing, we're waiting you for the next time, and next time is in September, and now I'm meditating, maybe I can also invite some more advanced devotees to come there to help, because I realized that Prabhupada really wants to give them mercy. And that happened. They were very inspired, and I also very, very inspired too. So it's really enlightening experience. And
thank you. So on this happy note, very hopeful note, we close. Thank you very much for your attention, your patience and participation. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.